The Justice Department is appointing temporary immigration judges to help handle the surge of unaccompanied minors who are crossing the southwest border. The Executive Office for Immigration Review has so many cases that it's created a backlog for the 243 full-time immigration judges. In part two of our interview, Judge Dana Lee Marks explains it's not just undocumented immigrants filling the dockets.
You can be placed in immigration removal proceedings either because you have no documents or because you do have documents, such as a tourist visa, a student visa, or even a green card, an alien registration card, but you have done something that violates the conditions of your status, a student who works instead of goes to school, a tourist who stays beyond the date he or she was authorized, a lawful permanent resident who commits a crime that renders them amenable to being removed from the United States. So it does impact a large group of non-citizens. And then there's the U.S. citizen family members of many, many of these individuals who are impacted, whether those individuals are documented or not. So it affects a large number of United States citizens and lawful permanent residents, as well as people who are undocumented or here on temporary status.
But all the children and unaccompanied minors washing over now, those are pretty much all undocumented. Correct?
That's what we are hearing. That is correct.
I want to go back to the question of resources. There is at least one bill in Congress right now that would provide more immigration judges or more money to hire immigration judges right away. Is that actually a solution that can be put into place relatively quickly once the department gets the money?
Director Osuna's testimony before Congress yesterday, we learned that the department is planning to propose a regulation where they'd be able to hire temporary immigration judges to try to help assist in that. And those temporary judges would come from retired judges or from Department of Justice attorneys who have long experience and knowledge of immigration law in other capacities. It's going to take time to ramp it up. The point is that the reason why it's an excellent first step, and I hate to always have to be the one to be negative, but I think it's important for people to realize that even though 40 new judges sounds like that would be a huge number, the proposed immigration reform bill in the Senate, which was introduced in 2013, recommended that 75 new immigration judges be hired during each of 3 years in 2014, 2015, and 2016. That would have brought the immigration judge corps an additional 225 immigration judges, which would over 3 years, which would basically double the size of the current corps. So it just puts in perspective that 40 is a start, but it certainly is not a long-term solution. It is not adequate to solve the long-term problems. Another way that I think is helpful to look at this situation is that it would be one thing if the immigration court were in excellent shape before a surge like this occurred. Then adding the additional demands of 50,000 to 75,000 cases per year into the system would have an impact, but it would not be overwhelming. Because we are so far backlogged now, with this average waiting time for cases being 3 to 5 years, generally speaking, across the country, because we already have that backlog, it means that when a judge is taken away from a docket like that, the cases left behind suffer that much more than they would have if we were relatively current in our caseload.
But from the numbers you've been stating, for example, that you're scheduling now for 2018, it sounds like you need 1,000 more judges.
From your lips to Congress's ears. Yeah, you know, I saw an interesting statistic.
I mean, if there's 11 million people, I think John McCain said they're living in the shadows. I don't quite think that's accurate.
Well,
but if there's 11 million people that presumably would have to have a hearing, I mean, under just strictly technical interpretation of the way the law works, it seems like it can never get resolved in this century.
Well, that's why comprehensive immigration reform is necessary, because then many of those cases would be resolved outside of the immigration court structure. The proposed changes would mean, take for example, the 1986 Immigration Reform and Control Act, which created the last legalization program, the bulk of the processing was done by administrative officers with the then INS and not with the immigration courts. So the immigration court cases generally are when there's something controversial in the case. And in fact, one of the compounding issues in the situation with applications for asylum by unaccompanied minors is that those cases need to go first to a non-adversarial setting, to an asylum officer in the Department of Customs and Immigration Services, or the Office of Customs and or Citizenship, excuse me, and Immigration Services at the Department of Homeland Security. They hear those first before they come to the court. And so there are certain ways under the law which are too complicated for me to explain to you in a radio interview. I could teach you a law school course and take a semester.
We'll send you a ticket.
I'd be happy to. I've taught law in the past, you know. I'm good at it. But, you know, there are certain situations where the cases bypass and go different routes. Not everything has to go through the immigration courts. But when you are talking specifically about the surge of cases at the border, a high percentage of those cases are likely to end up coming before the immigration court in the long run. But there may be preliminary processing that needs to be done, which is another reason why it's difficult to explain to the public how this won't necessarily seem like it's a fast process, because there are steps that need to be taken. And we have an international obligation through our treaty responsibilities with regard to asylum and treatment of refugee status. So, and if we want to be a world leader and show that our system is the best, there are many that argue that the American system of justice has to walk the walk.
We're speaking with Judge Dana Lee Marks, president of the National Association of Immigration Judges. She is also an immigration judge herself in San Francisco. And in that regard, I want to ask your opinion from the bench on what's happening with regards to the ACLU. It filed a legal complaint earlier this week saying that these children who are appearing before immigration judges really need to have a trained lawyer to represent them, similar to American citizens or others who are hauled into other types of courts. I'm just wondering, in terms of your resources, strained as they are, what sort of accommodations do you make, if any, when you see someone whose legs don't even touch, you know, the floor when they're sitting on a bench and they're supposedly there as a defendant?
Right. Well, I can't comment on pending litigation, but the Immigration Judges Association has gone on record stating that we believe that attorneys always improve the process. And obviously, when I say that these are death penalty cases in a traffic court setting, that's another reason why it means that attorneys are extremely essential to the process and very, very helpful. What is difficult with these juvenile cases is that, in general, the law that applies to these individuals is the same law as what applies to adults. There are a few minor exceptions. But in general, the law that's applied is the same. But that said, judges are required, in order to provide due process, to make sure that the person who appears before them understands the proceedings and understands what rights they have and what benefits they might have under the immigration laws, and how you would conduct yourself as a judge when you're addressing a 10-year-old as opposed to a 50-year-old obviously is very, very different. And it's well established in judicial circles that you handle cases of children and juveniles, you know, young adults, in a different fashion. You have to go more slowly. You have to be more patient. You obviously need to try to make the individual comfortable, obviously that's the best practice, whether someone is an adult or whether someone is a child, but it's more difficult to establish a kind of relationship and rapport and to allay concerns for a child or a young adult as opposed to an adult with worldly experience.
And
so,
just
I was just going to go one more thing. I was going to say that there's a contrast then between knowing there's a surge, we need to go as quickly as possible, and yet these are the kinds of cases that in general are more time consuming and are better handled at a slower pace in order to assure that mistakes aren't made, that no misunderstanding occurs, and that the individual feels like they were given their day in court.
And at some point, does who in this whole process thinks about the laws of the United States and protecting the integrity of the United States citizenship mandate and the citizens that were born and raised here? I mean, I'm not a jingoist here, but at some point, the United States itself has to be protected also, too, doesn't it?
Well, the Department of Homeland Security, through their Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division, has government trial attorneys, government prosecutors, who are in every that I've ever had before an immigration court. So they represent the interests of the United States government. So your interests as a citizen are represented by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. It can be the minor who doesn't have a legal right to counsel because these are civil proceedings, and it's just an issue of whether their due process rights can be protected if they can't find, if they can't afford to pay for an attorney or find a volunteer who is willing to represent them.